Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the IT News podcast. Our guest this week is Anthony Pereira, the Director of Data and Analytics at La Trobe University. Anthony leads a Data and Analytics Centre of Excellence that is driving a major three-phase program of work. The first and second phases, standing up an Azure-based enterprise data analytics platform and data governance, are now complete. A third phase, planned for this year, we'll see La Trobe University turbocharge the migration of clean, standardized datasets from across the institution into the analytics platform. We hope you enjoy the conversation. Can you give us a little bit of an introduction into the data and analytics area of La Trobe University and to your role?
My role is Director of Data and Analytics at La Trobe. In my remit, there's a couple of different functions. And it's your traditional centre of excellence around data and analytics. So we have data engineering and data management as the function within the team. We have information governance. So we've started off with being called data governance, but we've evolved it to be called information governance and give that a wider remit. We have advanced analytics, so which in some other organizations is called data science. We have within the team also a research element, so there's institutional surveys we do out of my team as well. And something a little bit nuanced about my team, we have a data insights partnering function. We've got a couple of resources who really work with the execs teams and their LTs around having leadership groups around having and understanding what their requirements are. They are the conduits, I guess, between our data analytics team and their function or their business units.
Okay. And when we're looking at the sort of data and analytics team, what's the kind of size and what's the kind of general makeup or split between, say, engineering resources and these kind of translators and other people within the team?
We're a team of about 27 fully resourced up. I'd say 50% of that would be data engineering and data management and information governance. About 25% would be advanced analytics or data science. About 15% of the would be those data insights type people, and then 10% roughly around the institutional research.
My understanding is you've been there for around 4 years or a bit over 4 years now. Can you give us a sense of how data and analytics as a function within the university has evolved over that time?
So it started off very disparate, a number of different data stores. There's a couple of different teams working on data and analytics or reporting. What the universities really try to do is invest a lot in data. So we did our digital strategy. Data was at the center of that digital strategy, and data-driven decision-making was something that the university really wanted to focus on. So as a result, I mean, all universities went through major transformations during the COVID period. And during that transformation, the data analytics team got a little bit more emphasis, and we created our center of excellence around data and analytics as a result of it. So we started off with disparate teams. We've centralized or we've brought into a center of excellence a number of them. And we also started off not having many report functionalities. There was a SAP, BO and BW, which was a little bit underutilized. That's evolved into us starting off our proof of concept in building a data warehouse in SQL, like most organizations do. We overlaid Power BI over the top and introduced Power BI into the organization. That, I would say, was a raging hit at the start. But like everything, when you start from nothing and go to something, it's always a raging hit. But the evolution needs to continue with what that visualization looks like. So Power BI has gone from probably zero reports or one or two reports when it was introduced in 2018 to over 400 now. So we're at the place where we've got to kind of rationalize some of the reports that we've developed. And then on top of that, we had pockets of the business that were doing data science and building predictive models. So again, we brought them into that center of excellence and really turbocharged that with the number of resources within that area. And again, so if we kind of look at our evolution, it's gone from almost having nothing to now a functioning center of excellence with still a lot of evolution to go.
Now, I wanted to talk about this because you've previously spoken about a program of works around setting up new Azure-based functions as well as this center of excellence function. I just wanted to know how we should think about these works that are happening in your area. So is this Azure package of work like a phase one or a foundational effort and there are additional phases to flow out of that? Or is it more of a gradual evolution as you build on some of those foundations that you've laid down?
My vision was always kind of three phase around it. So first phase was build the foundational Azure layer to land and manage our data. And then the second phase was really around building governance around it. So we've got a good foundational package, but to really bed down that foundation, we need that governance around it. And that's where we've chosen the Informatica product to really help and turbocharge our evolution in data governance. And then the third phase is really around migration of data into our enterprise data analytics platform. Even in the year of operation that we've had after we stood up our, I mean, we're almost a year on from standing up our Azure cloud platform, and we have now ingested our student data in there. We've ingested some of our CRM data. We've ingested course data. We've ingested a number of other data sources, which are really helping us with some predictive models. So it's that three-phased approach, but in there, there's also a bit of migration that we've been doing along the way. But yeah, that's kind of the broad overarching roadmap of my strategy.
And those three phases have been happening concurrently?
No, we've broken them up. So 2021 was really Azure and setting that up. 22 was data governance and concurrent to that migration process. And then 23 will really focus on turbocharging that migration process.
Okay, excellent. Obviously, the reason we're talking today is trying to dig a little bit more into the Informatica component. Can you talk a little bit about that particular phase of work, I guess, and how you landed on Informatica as a technology enabler?
We went through our RFP process like most people would do. We had a need for a data governance and a master data management tool. Again, we have a number of different applications that manage different parts of the journey of the student process. So for us, it was hard to kind of really establish that single view of customer. And we've managed to do it manually at the moment, but what we wanted to really try and do it in an automated manner. So MDM was really important for us. We started looking at a number of different offerings, a number of different vendors, all the class-leading ones. We worked through our requirements using Gartner and also what we wanted as an organization as well. So at the end of that process, we chose Informatica for a couple of different reasons, and mostly Informatica's new software as a service product ticked all the boxes around what our requirements were. And then also the commercials were quite strong in terms of Informatica versus the competitors as well. So hence, Informatica was really an obvious choice for us.
Can you maybe just drill down a little bit into those two areas? So data governance and master data management. What is it about those particular things that you need to achieve to establish this single view of student?
The single view of student is roughly, we'll call that master data management. Yes, data governance plays a critical element to that. That's probably not in question, but the data governance was really around how do we govern our infrastructure? How do we make sure that we have proper data quality? My vice chancellor often says to me, can you vouch for the quality of the data? And I said, no, I can't. But with Informatica, at the end of it, when we're going through the implementation, and what we're seeing now through the implementation is I will be able to vouch and say that the data is of good quality because we've got our rules in place. We wanted to understand the lineage in terms of where the data is coming from and know where the potential blockers were. We wanted a business glossary so that we have a shared understanding of terms. And I just used a very simple example. As simple as an ear sounds, ear has different connotations to different user groups. Say, academic will have a different understanding of a ear in comparison to a finance person. So having that consistent set of rules and that business glossary was really important for us in that data governance journey. So that's kind of that data governance, making sure that there is a technology that really supports those foundational pillars of data governance. And then there's the MDM, which draws upon what data governance is using, but also creates that view in real time for us that gives that 360-degree view of the student. And then going through the process of implementation and seeing some of the things coming through, and it's green sprouts because we can see different students could have different things written down in different applications. So being able to clean that up and push that back into different applications is very powerful because we have our single source of truth for our student. And it also helps our analytic journey because we can take that data on and then use that for our reporting because we do know who the right student is and what the right information for that student is.
So just to unpick that in a couple of different ways. Firstly, it might be useful to just understand what are some of the main data sources that are being ingested into this single source of truth, just to understand where the student data is coming from across the university.
So our marketing systems, our lead generation systems, we have a domestic lead system as well as an international lead system. We've got an international application system, and then we have our local application systems, and then we have our student data, and they all come into our middleware. And we're sourcing it straight out of our middleware and doing that matching and merging rules within the Informatica platform to build that 360-degree view of the customer.
And what happens with the existing data set? So in terms of when you talk about wanting to establish lineage and wanting to standardize the meaning of different terms and different fields of data that are collected, what are you doing to clean up potentially the existing data set? Or are you sort of drawing a line in the sand and saying, okay, everything that's created from now on has to use this standard set of terms?
We're still in the infancies here, so we're setting up our processes around that. We've started looking into what's, I guess, the errors that are coming through as part of the DG process. Again, it's early days for us because we've got a technical go live this month, and then operational go live for data governance will be towards the end of the year, and then MDM will probably be going live January next year. So everything that we're seeing is kind of pre-prod. I always think data governance is an all-encompassing story. So it's not just a data and analytics function. The whole business needs to buy into this and really kind of understand the value of data governance. La Trobe's really embraced it. We've set up our data governance working groups. We've got our data stewards identified. We've got our critical data elements identified, and we've got the stewards identified for that. And then as the data comes through into prod, or once it's become ready in prod, we've got our processes established so that we can start cleaning it up. So there will be a fair bit of remediation work, but it's going to have to be a joint decision that we make as a business, not just a DNA function around what we do, whether it is a line in the sand and start having proper quality going forward, or whether we go back and retrospectively fix it. And if we do choose to go down the path of how do we retrospectively fix it, how far do we go back and retrospectively fix it? It has to be a call that we make as a business rather than just a DNA team or a data steward by themselves.
When you were talking earlier about the executive wanting data lineage guaranteed and the quality of data guaranteed, what does it impact? What is the quality of data impacting in terms of the reporting outputs that the university is creating? How deeply does that impact run, I guess? And then second part of that question, does that same kind of impact felt in the different parts of the university? So for example, when they've tried to access data or tried to compare different data sets across the university, have they encountered the same sort of lineage problems, and would that affect their buy-in to the project?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the underlying use case for this is to make sure that our decisions that we make are data-informed. And to have data-informed decisions, we all need to be singing off the same hymn book, because we need to be able to make sure that the decisions we make come off the same base of data and the same base of information. I guess the use case and the need has been driven around having that consistent set of data to make those decisions. And that's where that product that Informatica provides around data governance really helps push that consistent definitions and that consistent use of data. Yes, there was, again, having multiple teams doing information, and I'll always use our FTE example. There is a number of ways we calculate FTE, and they're all valid, but they're used interchangeably across the organization. And most of the time, the FTE numbers are different when you look at it at face value. You can't make a proper decision if you don't know what that FTE measure is. So it's really around making sure that when we make decisions, we do understand the data is consistent, we have a common language around of that measure and metric and that data being used in it, and then being able to make those data-led decisions with confidence that the data is right and everyone has the same consistent understanding of what it's telling you.
Mm. And will this change the way that the university interacts with students as well? So for example, will it change potentially the frequency, the relevancy of the kind of conversations you're having, and even maybe push into some of the sort of emerging areas we see in other sectors, like particularly banking, for example, which have taken a real interest in so-called next best conversation? Is this kind of stuff that might flow on from this more foundational piece of work?
Definitely. It's the DNA vision. Our CMO is very, very data-led as well, so I'm sure she'll be very interested in this. We've just appointed a new Deputy Vice Chancellor of Futures. She's also very data-led, and those senior execs are going to be very interested in what Informatica produces, especially around MDM and having those quality conversation, not those disjointed conversations. So once the product is up and in production, it will automatically be pushed back into our CRM. And our CRM will be using that data, but there are so many other use cases, and next best conversation may definitely be a use case that we could use it for, but I think the sky's the limit at the moment, and it will be exploratory once we're in production.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a self-service element here in terms of the way that users will interact with both the Informatica products, but more broadly, the system that you've built. Can you explain a little bit about how different parts of the university are going to be interacting with this new structure?
Are you referring to the EDAP platform and the Informatica product? Yeah. Informatica's business glossary will be available to the business to be able to interact and figure out what those consistent rules are and what those definitions are in terms of what the dashboards and reports are showing. At the moment, our way of exposing EDAP or our enterprise data analytics platform is through the visualizations in Power BI. So that's kind of our main tool at the moment. We are exploring other technology organizations around how do we really democratize data to the organization in a way that is governed. So we have that governance already through Informatica, but in a way that's governed and with security being such a big concern in a secure manner as well. There are a couple of vendors that we are looking at how we can do that democratization in a safe manner and also have the right controls in place to do that.
Just a final question from me. What excites you about the next 12 months?
Oh, there's a lot. The next 12 months is really around how we as a data and analytics organization really come to light. It's a bit of an iceberg kind of metaphor at the moment. A lot of the work has been happening underneath the waves. We've done a lot of data ingestion. We've set ourselves up in the data governance platforms. We'll have our MDM. So a lot of work underneath the surface. So there's no real business value to be seen at the moment. But when we can come out and start showing some of these models that are created, when we can start showing our data governance and our consistent data themes that have been decided and has a process to make sure that it's agreed by the business what these terms are, and we have a consistent way in which we communicate that, I think it's going to really come to fruition what the data analytics journey that we've been on for the last 2 years and how much up the maturity curve that it's hit. And I think that's going to come to fruition in the first half of next year.
That was Anthony Pereira from La Trobe University, and that's the podcast for this week. We'll be back with an exciting new interview next week. Until then, you can catch all the latest headlines in Australian IT over at itnews.com.au.